This is 1A. I'm Jen White in Washington. If you've scrolled through TikTok lately, and I get it, that might not be something you do a lot, but if you did, your feed might have sounded something like this.
Let's make some hand-rolled beeswax candles.
This is how to make homemade rose water for use in cooking and cosmetics.
Today on my walk through the woods, I found a mushroom that I think y'all are gonna like a lot.
And I found this beautiful embroidered netting, and I thought it was the perfect opportunity to make a cottagecore-inspired dress.
How to get an aesthetic cottagecore effect.
So my mom and I went on a walk to the forest today, and my main goal was to find some moss and mushrooms for a few projects.
Hi. So if you're seeing this and you're a cottagecore lesbian, please follow me. I'll follow you back. I just wanna be friends.
Those are the sounds of the cottagecore hashtag. I know, it's new to me too. It's full of videos of people homemaking, knitting, gardening, baking, activities that have all gotten very popular during the pandemic. If you're not on TikTok, then perhaps you've seen cottagecore on Instagram or Tumblr or any number of image sharing sites. So what is it? And why are we drawn to the escapism it provides? Here to help us answer some of these questions is Rebecca Jennings, an internet and culture reporter from Vox. Rebecca, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're also joined by Amanda Brennan, a trend expert at Tumblr. Amanda, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Sumaya Jones, a TikTok creator and influencer. Hi, Sumaya. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, Rebecca, exactly what is cottagecore?
Well, cottagecore is really both an aesthetic that has sort of evolved into this subculture around imagery of the simple rural lifestyle. It's pictures of meadows and teacups and baby goats and baking bread, this imagery of this bucolic, rural, kind of fairy tale-esque lifestyle.
What particular demographics are drawn to this?
So as you can probably imagine, it's a lot of young women because it's proliferating on platforms where young women congregate, like Tumblr. It really started on Tumblr. It's moved over to Instagram and TikTok. I mean, you really only see pictures of women and non-binary people typically because, I mean, this is imagery that young girls, a lot, we grow up with this. And it's sort of this merging of this nostalgia and the current, you know, everybody's at home now. So, yeah.
But is it unique to this moment? I mean, I'm thinking back to some years ago when I was young and a certain type of person has always been into Pride and Prejudice and the English countryside. So how new is this?
Absolutely. So this has been kind of proliferating since, 2014, at least on these digital platforms, which allowed it to spread so much further. And in 2018, it really came up with the name cottagecore. But I think it really exploded during quarantine because of, everyone was suddenly at home. It was a way to spin this kind of terrible time into something kind of quaint and adorable. But yeah, it's really unlikely that you're going to live in the world as at the same time as a movement devoted to a slower, more thoughtful life. We have romanticism, we have twee, we have the arts and crafts movement. These are all iterations of the same kind of thing. We need to go back to a simpler life.
Sumaya, you're a huge name in cottagecore. Can you describe a typical post for you for people who have no idea what we're talking about?
So usually it's just the filters kind of do everything. But it could be something from my outfit that day to my garden or to a cake that I might have baked or biscuits or breakfast or even just like an environment that I found beautiful. And I would usually filter it to have more of a soft effect. Sometimes I add stars because I like the whole fairy tale-esque vibe as well.
So when you talk about your outfit, what might you wear in one of these posts?
So I love wearing dresses and skirts. It's something I wear on a daily, even when I'm, roller skating or when I'm doing an activity, I usually wear skirts. It's just really nice. So usually a high-waisted skirt with a belt and maybe a linen top of some sort.
Amanda, as a person monitoring these trends, is there any data we can point to that shows how popular cottagecore has become during the pandemic?
Yeah, our first spike that we saw on Tumblr was in late March, where we saw a 482% increase across overall engagements. That includes searches, original posts, reblogs, likes, across the board. It was still cold in most of the U.S., so people were really longing for these like indoor activities and escape and the fantasy of the movement.
When did we first see this aesthetic pop up?
Back in 2014, people were just using the word cottage on Tumblr and sharing really beautiful photos of gardens and the dream places that they wish they could go. In 2018, as Rebecca mentioned, that's when we first saw the word cottagecore pop up. Aesthetics really ignite on Tumblr using that word core. And over the years, we've seen a few related ones pop up too, like nature core for people who are focused on woods and forest, farm core for those gardeners. And my personal favorite is grandma core for those who are super into like baking pies and knitting.
That's Tumblr's Amanda Brennan. Also with us, Vox's Rebecca Jennings and Samaya Jones. She's a TikTok creator and Instagram influencer. And we're talking about the trend of cottagecore. We're also hearing from you. Mandy commented on our Facebook page, "My 20-year-old daughter is way into cottagecore. We have thrifted everything for her first apartment. It's been a great thing for her to dive into during this time of craziness." Liv tweeted, "I'm obsessed with the cottagecore subculture of Animal Crossing." And Jack tweeted, "I love the nostalgia of cottagecore. It invokes kindergarten classrooms with toadstool chairs and painted baby animals. At least for me, it makes me feel comforted with the aesthetic of early childhood education." We have to take a quick break, but we'll have more right after this. I'm Jen White. This is 1A.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues such as isolation, depression, stress, anxiety, and more. Connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment when you need professional help. Get help at your own time and your own pace. Schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. Visit betterhelp.com/1A to learn more and get 10% off your first month.
Do you talk about the news with your friends, your family, or maybe perfect strangers? You can get all the facts you need to be up to speed on this busy news cycle on the 1A News Roundup. Find the podcast in your feed every Friday.
The Americans with Disabilities Act was signed 30 years ago.
So why, to this day, is the disability community still fighting for their rights?
Listen now to learn what they're fighting for.
On Throughline from NPR, every Thursday.
This is 1A. We're talking about the internet aesthetic phenomenon cottagecore. Samaya, what about cottagecore attracted you?
Honestly, I had just learned about the hashtag, like, I think when I got on TikTok back in April or March. I think it was March. But beforehand, my mom used to watch Little House on the Prairie, and it was just literally cottagecore, the whole thing. So it was more so the lifestyle.
Hmm. Have you noticed an uptick in views and followers during the pandemic?
Yes, I have, especially during the springtime when I was just starting my garden. A lot of people liked the process of them growing.
What do you think draws people to your content in particular?
I think because it's something a little different. I'm a Black Muslim girl, or a Black Muslim woman, and so people don't really see a lot of us in the cottagecore community, and it's different to see someone's religion and someone's culture fit into an aesthetic that's usually dominated by a different demographic.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, to go to this issue of self-expression, because what I'm hearing Samaya say is that she's expressing a part of herself. What kind of posts are you seeing on Tumblr that connect to that self-expression?
Yeah, even though the data that we work with is stripped of user information, we've seen a really large tie into women, and especially people who identify as women who love women. So there's a lot of posts about like, man, I want to run off to the woods with my girlfriend and just bake pies forever. There's also kind of an undercurrent of, you know, the social climate that we're in and people making quilts that might say like political messages, because people are mindful of what they are participating in and noticing that, you know, they can make a movement.
Samaya, you live in the suburbs in North Carolina. You're calling us from your day job right now, so thank you for that. Do you feel like the Samaya who is online is the same Samaya who shows up at work every day?
Honestly, yeah. I love being outside with the kids. That's what I do. I'm a nanny. So I love being outside with the kids. I love going to parks. I love just being outdoors. But when I'm indoors, I do like engaging in baking. My mom quilts a lot, so sometimes I sew. I'm not a quilter, but sometimes I do sew. And I'm also an artist, so.
You know, Rebecca, there's a bit of irony here, because cottagecore really romanticizes the past, but it's almost exclusively online. I mean, do fans recognize the irony there?
Oh, absolutely. And that is not the only irony in cottagecore. There's so much going on here. It's really, really complex and much, much more complex than it might look on the surface. But yeah, and that's sort of what my ongoing theory is that cottagecore, because it's basically images of a lifestyle online, it's more about the longing for this kind of lifestyle rather than the actual participation in it. And yes, and I do think that people see these images and then they're like, I'm going to plan a trip to a strawberry farm with my friends and bake a pie. Because I saw it on TikTok. I think that's really cool. But all of the captions are so wistful and yearning for this kind of life, even though they might not have it, which makes it even more attainable. You know, like most of the cottagecore influencers I interviewed for my story, they're living in Orlando. They're living in Southern California. They're not in France. You know, they're not, you know, in this very woodsy, cutesy, rural environment. It really can be something that you can participate anywhere.
Well, another layer of complexity is when we talk about the good old days. That can mean a very different thing depending upon who you are. Some good old days weren't so good. Is some of that coming out in cottagecore as well?
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, when they look at this stuff, they might be like, this seems really regressive. This seems like something that, you know, trad wives or right-wing mommy bloggers would really be excited about. But so much of cottagecore influencers put Black Lives Matter in their bios. They're making quilts, as Amanda said, that say BLM. They are really aware that, you know, this imagery is traditionally focused on cis hetero white people. But the fact that queer people have embraced it so much is really cool. And I think it's this merging of this lovely, lovely romantic bucolic settings that we all kind of grew up with, and then merging with the identity that they've found as a, you know, a teenager and adult.
We're talking to Vox's Rebecca Jennings, Tumblr's Amanda Brennan, and Sumaya Jones about the trend cottagecore. And we're also hearing from you. Lena tweeted, I'm still familiarizing myself with it, but I'm definitely a big fan of the softness, earthy tones, and ethereality. It's nostalgic and vintage, and I love the leisurely aesthetics of it. And Brittany commented on our Facebook page, without the physical signifiers of a commute or going into work, it's easy to feel like the days are slipping away with no significance or meaning. Little tactile things like gardening provide an anchor. Coming up, cottagecore is all about romanticizing the past. But as we just heard there from Rebecca, for those of us who aren't white men, the past was not always romantic. We'll learn a little bit more about how the trend squares that circle. I'm Jen White. We'll hear more from you and our guests in a moment.
Hey, parents. Mindy here from Wow in the World, NPR's podcast for all ages. With schools out, we are all looking for fun ways to educate and entertain our kids. Wow in the World has over 100 science-filled, screen-free episodes to help them laugh and learn. It's like a cartoon for their brains. Wow in the World from Tinkercast and NPR.
I'm Jen White. We're discussing cottagecore with Rebecca Jennings, an internet and culture reporter from Vox, Amanda Brennan, a trend expert at Tumblr, and Sumaya Jones, a TikTok creator and influencer, and with you. We got this tweet from Yima who says, I end up consuming a lot of cottagecore due to gardening and have found a rash of white supremacists in the tag. Rebecca, is that part of this trend, is that there's some white supremacy happening as well?
Well, none of the cottagecore influencers that really identify with the cottagecore subculture are part of that. For sure. That seems to me like someone kind of jumping on this hashtag, not really understanding its origins and the current discourse within it, and sort of just seeing the flat imagery and taking it completely out of context and kind of putting their own really ideologies on that.
Well, you know, when you look at cottagecore, it seems to be geared towards women and centered on what we would think of as traditional female gender roles of homemaking. But as you said, people in the community are pretty diverse. Can you explain a little bit more about the community around cottagecore?
Yeah, absolutely. So one cottagecore girl that I talked to, she's a teenager, and she, the way she described it to me was, well, if you don't feel like you belong in the modern world, you can always run away to the woods. And I think that really speaks to the fact that cottagecore lesbian is now such a meme. You know, it's like frogs, which is part of frogcore, which is like a sub aesthetic of cottagecore. Frogs are now associated with lesbians. Goblincore is really popular among gender non-binary people, and it's this reclaiming of these images that many Americans grew up with, and placing it in the modern world and with modern progressive politics.
Samaya, what's your experience been like in the community?
I haven't really, interacted with a lot of other cottagecore creators. I follow a few and some follow me as well, but it's honestly just my lifestyle and then just photographing it and putting it on the internet. So it's been pretty nice.
What made you want to capture your lifestyle and put it out there for other people to see?
I used to paint, and I still paint occasionally, but not as much. And so when I stopped posting a lot of painting content, I decided to post more lifestyle kind of stuff. And it just kind of followed through with that. Like, I just started posting my garden and my clothes and my baked goods and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Amanda, as Rebecca said, there's a lot of LGBTQ representation in the cottagecore community. Is that a newer evolution of this trend, or was it something that started on Tumblr?
I think it's something that's naturally come along. Like, Tumblr is where you share the things that you love the most with the people who love them as much as you do. And a lot of people come to a deeper understanding of their gender identity or sexuality on Tumblr. That's just a huge facet of our community. And as Rebecca mentioned, Goblincore also had a huge spike this year. And that's all about, you know, sometimes you just want to eat dirt. And really getting into these weird pieces of your core that, like, you feel like you can explore on Tumblr. And I think it's really lovely.
Okay, I need you to explain a little bit more about Goblin Core, because we've gone down that path now. What is that exactly?
Yeah, so Goblincore is like a subgenre of cottagecore that's really focused on, like, you know, getting into the mud, getting into the messy bits and collecting shiny things. A lot of the Goblincore tag is like people's crystal collections, people's rock collections, and, you know, not being ashamed of what they really love and want to surround themselves with.
Samaya, a lot of people are drawn to cottagecore because it's soothing and it's an escape from the reality of our world. Is this a form of escapism for you?
In a way, yes. I also think that the reason why so many women kind of gravitate towards it is because it's almost like we're reclaiming being feminine. A lot of us grew up and being girly, you know, quote unquote girly, was a problem or an issue, or was weak in a way. And so we're kind of reclaiming the act of being delicate and, you know, smaller, I guess, in a way, but still having like a large impact on our earth, I guess.
Rebecca, what are you finding in the other influencers you interviewed? Did they have similar reasons for reaching out to cottagecore?
Oh, for sure. And I think it's actually like one of many aesthetics that you can kind of try on every day. And that's really the experience of being young. You know, you're figuring out who you are, what you like. And that's why there's so many of these like suffix core of different aesthetics that you can find on Tumblr, et cetera. It's just another aesthetic that you can put on. And yeah, they say that they're really into the environment, and cottagecore is a really cool way of sort of making eco-friendly practices really adorable and quaint and attractive for a lot of young women. And it's things like that I think really draw people to cottagecore.
Well, Martha emailed us, back in the day in the 1960s, counterculture also embraced elements similar to cottagecore, making sandcastles, baking bread, and do-it-yourself craft projects. You know, Rebecca, what's your expectation around this trend and whether or not, you know, once we're on the other side of the pandemic at some point, whether people will stay with this aesthetic?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think because this kind of aesthetic is always around, you know, it goes back to medievalism in the Renaissance era, Arthurianism, Romanticism, which was a response to the French and Industrial Revolutions and the Age of Enlightenment. We have the Arts and Crafts movement. We had Twee in the early 2000s, which was, I mean, arguably a reaction to smartphones and cell phones and constantly being connected online. So I think we will always exist as at the same time as a movement like this that really asks us to kind of slow down. And you see it with hygge, which was a huge term a few years ago, self-care, all these kind of viral terms that basically mean the same thing, just keep coming back up. And yes, they then what happens in the cycle is that they then get commercialized. You can sell items that people don't really need in the name of being cottagecore or being hygge, when really all it is about is, you know, hanging out with your friends and baking pies together, and that doesn't cost any money.
Well, Deborah tweeted, why do you think TV hasn't jumped on the bandwagon? In a sea of violent and ugly programming, only PBS seems to have anything approaching comfortable escapism or non-competitive cooking and gardening. Rebecca, what do you think?
I mean, I think that that just goes to show what people have gravitated towards in quarantine. No, TV hasn't been able to keep up, but I think that's why you see so many people playing Animal Crossing, because it's such an escape. It came out, I mean, it was a happy accident that it came out right as quarantine was starting, but I think you see a lot of people returning to favorites like Miyazaki movies, Lord of the Rings, The Shire is extremely cottagecore, rereading their favorite books that are set in the countryside, things like that.
Well, Elizabeth emailed, my girlfriend and I are a couple of queer gal pals who love cottagecore and try to practice it. For me, though, cottagecore is about self-sustainability and being able to do things for oneself. Cottagecore focuses a lot on gardening, baking, having chickens in the backyard, and these are all ways you can be self-sustaining and practice environmentally friendly habits. Samaya, has the environment played into this at all for you in sustainability?
Definitely. Because I live in North Carolina, it's actually really easy to just go to a local farm or a local supermarket and buy locally, as well as buying eggs locally. But that's definitely one of the biggest things that like drew me to this, is because it is people kind of like Generation Z reclaiming our earth, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, but like we're taking back our power to help our earth. We're not leaving it up to, I guess, the older generations.
How deeply have you seen that connection on Tumblr, Amanda, when this thing first started?
Yeah, we've seen a huge burst in the garden core and nature core tags. And there is this kind of line of how can we make our world better? One of my favorite Tumblrs is chickenkeeping.tumblr.com. And it's a user who just shares their everyday experiences with their chickens. There's tons of people living different lives and using Tumblr to give other people into those windows into these worlds.
Rebecca, at the same time, how much of this is about the fantasy and how much of it is the reality? If you've ever been to a farm, there are some unique, you know, scents and experiences that you can have. So much of it is fantasy? Yeah.
I think it's a subculture that is entirely around fantasy, and that's what makes it fun, and that's what makes it escapist. I mean, yeah, looking at a picture of a meadow or a farm on Tumblr is not the same thing as visiting a farm and having to actually take care of the animals, and I think that's what makes it delightful and fun. And I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people, cottagecore influencers or cottagecore fans, who love that stuff, and that is awesome, but for many of the people, it's more about the imagery of these things rather than the actuality.
Well, one last question from Ben, who says, I'm one of those rugged hipster guys with leather boots and the flannel shirt and the ball cap. I've noticed the presence of American small businesses promoting this lifestyle since 2016. I'm liberal-minded and in love with cabins and woods and analog things. Is this culture related? Rebecca, what do you think?
I think that really relates to like the early 2010s hipster ideology. And that just goes to show that it's all really related. And it's the aesthetics are quite similar and the reasoning behind them are quite similar, because I think they're all reactions to other things that are happening in the world, like just monumental shifts in the way that we exist. But cottagecore is so feminine coded and femme coded that I think it's definitely super, super related. And if he wants to jump on the cottagecore subculture, he totally should.
That's Rebecca Jennings. She's an internet and culture reporter from Vox. Also with us, Amanda Brennan, a trend expert at Tumblr, and Sumaya Jones, a TikTok creator and influencer. Thank you all for being here with us. Today's producer was Arfi Getty. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks so much for listening, and let's talk again soon. This is 1A.